Hello, the internet, and welcome to another episode of the Cracked Podcast. My name is Jack O'Brien. I'm the editor-in-chief of Cracked, and welcome to this bonus episode, this nuspisode, as the kids are calling it grossly. We're talking about the fictional location that we would visit if we had the chance. What vacation would you plan if you could travel to a fictional place? You're gonna hear a lot of great answers. Since it's a pretty straightforward premise, I figured I'd use this here intro to give one of the ones I didn't have time to get to. I think it'd be fun to take a nice vacation, whatever your ideal vacation is in this real universe, but do it in the Tarantino universe. If you're not familiar with the unified Tarantino movie universe theory, it states that Quentin Tarantino movies all take place in the same alternate timeline. And the evidence for this, we see characters from one movie are related to characters from another. I think Mr. Blonde, the psycho Michael Madsen character from Reservoir Dogs, is the brother of Vincent Vega from Pulp Fiction. Donnie the Bear Jew Donowitz from Inglourious Basterds is the father of one of the movie producers in True Romance. Mr. Blonde refers to Alabama from True Romance. So they're all related. If you mapped that out, you'd see that they all connect. I don't think anybody's ever fully connected Django to that universe, but I think it makes sense as part of this alternate timeline. So here are the things that we know happen differently in that universe, just based on the fact that they would presumably get covered in our history books if they had happened in our universe. So first, in the Tarantino universe, Hitler got his face shot to pieces by a team of avenging Jewish soldiers in Inglourious Basterds. That actually happens in 1944 instead of Hitler dying in 1945, as he did in our universe, killing himself in a bunker. Boo. Sad Hitler. And number two, another difference, presumably, is that in the Tarantino universe, a slave named Django kind of escaped north, came back as an avenging angel and started freeing slaves, shot up a white family, not just any white family, sort of the slavery Walt Disney, the owner of Candyland Ranch, and made his way north with his wife. Presumably, that didn't happen in our universe just because we've never heard of it, and Django would be a badass historical figure if that had happened. So one of the reasons that I think the Django story actually is part of the unified Tarantino universe is that race relations are different in the Tarantino verse. For instance, in Pulp Fiction, Quentin Tarantino plays a character named Jimmy, who's like a scrawny stay-at-home husband, and he freely uses what in our universe are racial slurs, talking to basically the most badass iteration of Samuel L. Jackson over the course of Samuel L. Jackson's badass career. I think Jules is the baddest ass, and Jules doesn't choose to break his foot off in Jimmy's ass, even though he pretty easily could kill him. Jules and Vincent's lives would be way easier if they just killed him, showered, got the fuck out of town in whatever car he has in the garage. But he doesn't, because they're friends, and this is how friends talk to each other in the Tarantino universe. Presumably because a slave named Django killed a plantation full of slave owners and blew up a gang of racist Australians and saved his wife by fleeing north, and a gang of Jewish soldiers shot Hitler's face to pieces. So it's a world where the most persecuted people in the history of the world got bloody vengeance. So there's just been at least somewhat of a release of tension. And yeah, it just seems like a world where nobody has anything better to talk about than to spend all their time talking about pop culture, presumably not having anything more pressing to discuss. No Trumps, no racist politicians in that world, just analysis of Madonna lyrics. That is the type of world, as you've probably been able to tell from this podcast, that is the type of world that I want to live in. Anyways, it'd just be fun to visit a city in the Tarantino verse, just any kind of cool town, and go to some bars and shoot the shit with the people because everyone's got good taste in music and movies and they all dance pretty well. A hitman can just like break out sick ass dance moves, and I like to dance with hitmen. All right, let's get right into it. Hope you enjoy this episode. I'll be back here and there to add context or something I meant to say, but forgot to in the moment because I was all hopped up on caffeine. And at the end, for some kind of footnotes, we'll give you the Twitters of everybody who participates. I will talk to you then.
What's up, UCB Sunset?
Hi, everybody.
How's it going?
Oh, come on. Let's get
come
weird.
Come on. I'm Jack. I'm the editor-in-chief of Cracked, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my first-time co-host. He's a hilarious comic who you probably know from being on all the podcasts. He's Mark Wahlberg on Doug Loves Movies. He co-hosts Dumb People Town with the Sklar Brothers. He's been on Bear Down, The Todd Glass Show, and hosts Hindsight with Dan Van Kirk. Please give it up for Mr. Daniel Van Kirk.
Hi, everybody. Hi. I'm honored to be here.
It's always awkward when I give the long intro to somebody who's like sitting right there.
I know,
usually,
but
I
feel
it to somebody who's backstage.
I welcome it. I welcome it. I put in all those podcast hours, and I love
you
hearing them.
You earned it,
back.
Man. Thanks, you earned man. It. You're a yeah. pro. So I don't have to tell you that it's spring break time, man.
It is
spring break
time.
Where are you going? Cancun?
Oh,
Fort Lauderdale?
Yeah, probably Daytona? Like South Padre Island.
So,
that's real, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Good. Okay.
I think that's a thing people do. Right. So, I spent most of my life growing up inside of fictional universes because I was kind of a nerd. And most of my staff on the Crack team grew up inside the Stars Trek and Wars mm-hmm. universe and the Lords of the Rings and Dance universes. I grew up in Stallone verses of Rocky and Rambo, Karate Kid, 80 slash movies, and Jaws. But today we're asking if you could combine those two ideas, if you could combine Spring Break with fictional universes, where would you go? What would you visit? And people out in the audience, I assume you're out there, it's pitch black from where we're sitting. We're going to give you guys a chance to, I guess, come up on stage. So you're going to have an opportunity to tell us where you would visit, but study abroad at Hogwarts, take a trip to the luxurious moisture farms of Tatooine, Dust Bowl era Oz, because I hear it's become gentrified since then.
Very but, much so. Yeah.
What's your answer?
For me, where I would go?
Yeah.
My first initial instinct, and it's already a vacation destination, would be the resort lake and town that they go to in The Great Outdoors.
All right.
I love that movie. And there seems to be so many good things about that town that they visit. One, very lax boating laws.
That's important.
You can do whatever you want on that water. You can get a great cabin for a great deal. There's like a deranged bald-headed bear running around haunting people,
right? And they're like broke, right? Isn't that part of the plot that like Dan Aykroyd's family is completely broke and they're like living in this huge cabin while they're there?
Dan Aykroyd plays John Candy's brother-in-law, and Aykroyd pretends to be rich the entire time. And then you don't find out, spoiler alert, in 3, 2, 1 until later that he is broke. But John Candy's there on a budget with his family. They also have a restaurant in that town where you can, I think it's like the old 96er.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can eat a human-sized steak.
Maybe this is my Midwestern showing, but I love a good food challenge restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a good
that
one for me.
That is your yeah. Midwestern show.
Oh, my
for
God.
Sure.
Yeah.
You come from lake people, right?
You're my family, person. We spend a lot of time up in Wisconsin on a lake. Right. So I'm probably just trying to recreate something I already do. Is that safe?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good. Yeah.
That's
definitely
perfectly
in for
fine.
That. Definitely in for that.
Not super adventurous, but I'll give it to you. I think it's fine. So
they let kids kiss dead people in that town.
Do they?
Yeah.
That's
the three people in this audience that have seen The Great Outdoors know what I'm talking about.
Huge fans. So I come from ocean-going people. We go down the shore every summer, and I think I would visit Amity Island from the Jaws universe.
Really?
Because...
just a whole bunch of moms that don't give a shit?
Right. There's that. There's... in the first movie, which is the least insane, there are three people eaten by a shark, and then the 4th of July rolls around, and people are just fucking pouring off the ferry to show up at that beach. So, like, it must be just the greatest beach in the world. People, like, still can't help themselves. They, like, have to, like, run in the water. There have been three people literally eaten,
they don't
like,
care.
For everyone to see.
The funnel cakes are worth it.
Right. I've been on some great vacations, but I want to go on a worth getting eaten by a shark vacation.
Maybe just to watch.
Yeah,
that
that's true,
though. Like the amount of, and I love that the town, was it the mayor in that movie, the guy in the Colonel Sanders suit?
Didn't care.
Yeah, he's like, look, we know that people are dying out there, but it's summertime. We got to make that money.
And no one cared, and they just kept going in the water.
He must have run on a exclusively keep the beaches open ticket.
Oh, for
because,
sure.
Like, that is all he cares about.
Yeah, he had an open beach policy.
Yeah. I think my runner-up is Cabot Cove from the Murder, She Wrote universe.
Really?
Because, well, same logic, basically. The BBC actually did a study, and it has a 60% higher murder rate than Honduras, which is the murder capital of the real world.
But it's so pleasant.
Well, that's the crazy thing. It's pleasant. Somebody dies in Honduras every 74 minutes in a violent way. So in Cabot Cove, 60% more than that. I don't know how to do that math.
Well, let's figure it out.
Let's not.
That'd be like around 24 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoa. It's you want to go there?
Well, because
Jack.
First of all the residents are elderly people, so I feel like I could outrun
most
of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're going there with the it never happens to me mentality.
Kind of, because for whatever reason, tourists just keep going. And also, none of the tourists are remotely aware that Jessica Fletcher is clearly killing all these people because the murder rate on her vacations is also, like, astronomical. So yeah, it's a town with a population of 3,000 with Honduras's murder rate, and it still has like a booming tourism industry. So
there's always vacancies.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right. So should we get to our first guest, who has one of my favorite answers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Up first is one of my favorite stand-up comedians who has worked for TV shows like Teachers on TV Land, Review, and Key and Peele. Please give it up for Blake Wexler. Hello, Blake.
Hello.
Over here.
So my favorite fictional vacation place that I could go to is Zootopia, because it had to be. And there's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons as to why it would be. And it's not just these reasons. It's not just the fact that their huge artist there is a gazelle voiced by Shakira. Obviously a tourist attraction, number one. It's not also that I'm very insecure about my height. And whenever I'm not feeling good about myself, I can just meander over to Rodent Town and just be like, I am a god. It's not that, which I feel like is the appeal of Japan. And then... And then anyone who knows me, like, I'm one of the most impatient people I know. I have horrible impatience issues. And you might be
it's
thinking,
true.
Like...
true. He's a monster.
A true demon. So I'm very, very impatient. I'm a monster. But you're like, oh, Blake, how are you going to deal with the sloths? Zootopia has a terrible sloth issue. Slow-moving beasts. And my answer to that is I'm on vacation. They work at the DMV. I'm not going there. I'm trying to enjoy myself. But the main reason that I chose Zootopia is I'm not an adventurous person. I like the things that I like. Like, I don't like trying too many new things. And I went to college at a place called Emerson College in Boston. And if you haven't heard of it, it's a private institution for gay Jews. And that is just what it is. It's accredited. It's an accredited gay Jewish institution. And I found out about that. I'm like, ooh, sign me up. But I also really, really, really love the city of Boston. Boston's one of my favorite cities in the country, in the world. And that's why I chose Zootopia, is because Zootopia reminds me a lot of Boston. And this might need an explanation. And by the way, I love Boston. It has a lot of drawbacks. It has a lot of drawbacks. So the things I'm going to mention, it's like, man, that doesn't sound like a positive thing. Well, it reminds me of the city I went to school in. So here it is. First of all, both cities, referring to Zootopia as a city is just funny to me, actually. But both of these known cities, Boston and Zootopia, very, very segregated. Jesus. They're both very segregated. Like, you go to Boston, and it's just like, oh, all of the white people live here. And then you go to, like, Dorchester, which is like, there's a wall up. And you're like, oh, there's everybody else, you know? Why don't we mix it together like a normal functioning place? Zootopia, also poor race relations. The carnivores and the herbivores, they don't, you know, there's a lot of friction there. No spoilers. He spoiled Zootopia, that piece of shit! Also, you know, like there's like the frozen section of Zootopia, then there's the rainforest section. The two don't really mix very well. Also, like Boston, there's a lot of racial profiling by police in Zootopia. The foxes have it hard there. There's a special spray for foxes that rabbit cops carry around with themselves. And I think we all know what a Boston police officer, how unfair they would be in general. But I don't think I have to go too much into that. Also, Boston, very Italian and Irish. Like, those are the two main origins, you know, races there. And Zootopia, I think I can figure out who are the Italians and the Irish in Zootopia. There's, like, the mob run by shrews. Very Italian. Very... very Italian, dress well, very family oriented. And then also they have these polar bear henchmen.
Armenians.
And good. So also the carnivores who lose their minds during it,
obviously the Irish.
Obviously. If you're like, oh, that doesn't sound Irish, go out on St. Patrick's Day and be like, oh, these are carnivores who have a disease. It's the worst holiday of the year. Finally, I feel like politically, Boston and Zootopia are very similar. Both have underappreciated female politicians. You know, they haven't totally capitalized off of them. Zootopia has that Lamb, that assistant mayor Lamb, who I think got a bad rap. And
really?
And not to get too opinionated. And Boston has Elizabeth Warren, who I feel like has not gotten the love that she deserves. And finally, they both have male politicians. And they both have male politicians who look the part, but were ultimately very disappointing as politicians. Zootopia has Mayor Lionheart, that gorgeous maned lion who, corrupt as the day is long. And Boston had Mitt Romney. So, and then last thing, the reason why I want to go to vacation in Zootopia, and this is the most important thing, is that there's no fucking people. There's going to be no people there. What ruins a vacation quicker than people? They're the worst. They're just like, oh, good, he's texting with his volume on his phone. Do you hear what you're doing? You're a psycho. So, yeah, Zootopia. Zootopia's my pick. No Woo. People. Zootopia 2017. And he's asking you to clap. And so am I.
I was going to go with L.A. as the most similar city because it's got, like, all of the variety of ecosystems.
Right.
Like L.A. claims to. They're like, oh, you can go from the beach to skiing in like an hour.
Yeah.
And that's theoretically true, but with traffic, it's like 4 hours. But in Zootopia, right. They just like.
Oh, amazing
jokes.
Public trans. Like the T.
Yeah.
Very good public transport.
Yeah, they have the trams, right?
That rabbit shot from like the rural, like carrot suburbs into Zootopia in 30 seconds. And it's just like, yeah, Boston, the T is a fine public transit system. If you ever want to visit, I can recommend a couple good stops.
Yeah, and the diversity, they really like use their diversity. The shortcoming of human diversity is that we're all the same on the inside, so it's not like that much, but like you have animals that are like have different senses, different
right.
sizes and stuff like that.
Jack, most Let's people get would that say quote. That's the beauty of humanity
right, yeah.
is that we're all the same. You're like, oh, it's a difficulty.
Right. That's the problem, one. Is it? You're not getting like an A team of different senses when you have like a diverse A-Team, for instance.
Right, right, right.
Yeah,
right,
like
exactly.
Mr. T doesn't have eagle vision or anything.
No,
you know?
No,
like,
just rage.
Right.
Just rage for right. an acting career that didn't come together quite the way.
I have a question for you, though.
Oh, please.
So you visit Zootopia.
Yes.
Okay. One of the things I like to do when I go on vacation is eat without regard to anything. Mm. What would you do for a great dinner in Zootopia without really offending some of the citizens?
Well, you'd have to go vegetables, probably.
Right?
Right? Like, which isn't fun. That's not a vacation meal. Yeah, because you couldn't be gorging, and then, like, here, it would be like, oh, like, you're eating, like, a human being, and then their sister walks by, and you're just like, I'm on vacation! Yeah, don't look at me! I'm on vacation! I brought my loose pants.
It's part of the plan. We get to eat as much as we want here.
Oh, I'm glad we enjoyed that.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah, they never cover the meat-eating part of...
Right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they don't.
It's just vegetarian, we're supposed to
I guess
assume.
It's just, yeah, or you got to, like, lock yourself in your house, right? I'm sure there is, like, a rapport, you know, like there is, like, a process where, like, whenever you get takeout, it's just a black bag. You know, like, you can't tell what's in it.
Right.
It's like a black box.
Oh,
yeah.
Like stepdads used to get Playboy delivered to their house, and they always claim in that, like, black covered. Oh, no one knows what this is.
It's like, oh, it's Sports Financial Illustrated. Statement. It's like, no, it's not.
No,
Sports
it's not.
Illustrated doesn't come with a lock on it.
Just like the shadiest antelope delivers you your steak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a billy. It has the chin of a billy goat, you know, like that awful goatee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be my only qualm, but I think it would be really fun to be in Zootopia.
It would be great. And then you just be around animals, which is like a thing I skipped because it's not funny, but like...
I forget, in Zootopia...
That would be nice.
Do they touch on any of the animals that live in the water in Zootopia?
No, and I think that that's another segregation thing, where it's just like, there are animals like that live in the... Maybe that's going to be the sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zootopia 2, on the water.
Zootopia 2, yeah.
The
or
fact that
Aquariumtopia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Would,
I don't
if
know
you
if
were in Zootopia, would you go to one of those concerts of that Shakira gazelle or whatever it is?
In a second. In a second. In a second.
They seemed inordinately into her performances. Like, everybody was like, this is our only musician, and that's fine with me. Yeah.
It's the only artist, so I guess you gotta go.
Yeah.
All right, real quick. First of all, Zootopia might be my favorite answer. I'll tip my hand early. The tiny town full of rodents is awesome. It's like having a living, breathing model of your city just over in the corner. And it made me wonder if it has the great mouse detective rules, where like things that happen in that tiny part of the universe are actually happening in the larger universe. Presumably not, based on the events of the movie. But yeah, just having beings of different sizes. It's always been a weird fantasy of mine, just to live in a world of giants, which is appropriate given my name. It's what it would be like to be like a dog at a dog park where my dog happens to be on the small side and he's just chilling alongside Great Danes that are 50 times his weight. Anyways, the thing I was trying to say about diversity that probably came out so garbled. So diversity has obviously done great things for humanity. We've talked about in a past episode that the explosion of learning and science and technology has not coincidentally happened at the same time that, you know, the world is allowing more types of people to contribute. And, you know, we're willing to listen and take advantage of the contributions of women and brown people and not just the tiny portion of the population that happens to be white men between the ages of 18 and 50. Yeah, white supremacy has been a huge muzzle on the potential of our species because we're only getting output and ideas from a small corner of the universe, not even the most talented necessarily, and they're all just closed off and insular and have their heads up their own asses. Anyways, Zootopia, similar in that it has all the best stuff about diversity that humanity has gotten, just more people, more talented people getting to contribute, people getting along, learning from each other's diverse cultures. But with humans, even though we have different talents, humans are all the same on the inside. Wah, wah, wah. Our eyes see the same, ears hear the same, our minds mostly think alike. We have to rely on culture to kind of differentiate us, but culture can only go so far. We're all the same deep down in the middle. As Blake said, that's usually seen as a positive, but when you're talking about getting the most out of diversity, it's actually a negative, because with animals, diversity gives you access to so many different skill sets, different highly advanced senses, and you know, there's a shrimp, the pistol shrimp, that has eyes that can see so many colors and can see with such detail that it can read the back of a DVD. Anyways, you could just put together an amazing team of different animal skills that all complemented each other with diversity in the animal kingdom. All right, that's it. Back to the episode.
All right, let's bring out our next performer. Blake, why don't you come over here and join us?
Yes, welcome.
So up next, we have a hilarious comedian and writer who has opened for Maria Bamford, Kumail Nanjiani, Chris Hardwick, and co-hosts the Bechdel Cast, which is one of my favorite new podcasts. She's written for TheNewYorker.com, and earlier this year appeared on the prestigious Cracked podcast. Please welcome the hilarious and brilliant Jamie Loftus!
Hi, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Jamie?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Okay. You've chosen one of the great magical worlds in the history of the fantasy genre.
Yeah, it's a pretty intricate universe, very different from our own.
Yeah.
Frasier's Seattle.
Yep.
Is my selection. Very unlike the real Seattle, I realized, because in this entire 11-year series, approximately 3 scenes actually take place outside. It pretty much strictly takes place inside of locations where Frasier has sex with gorgeous women, which is an important component of Frasier's Seattle in terms of its mysticism. So I wanted to disclaim off the top a little bit. Frasier's Seattle is very important to me because I was a big Frasier head as a young gal. The series ended when I was 12 years old, but the series finale, I remember watching it in my bed alone, door locked. I was stimulated intellectually, emotionally, and physically in a way that I would recognize about 10 years later was sort of coming for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah, it's super sad, but also the tone of Kelsey Grammer's voice, I feel like, just brings out...
Yeah.
Just draws the cum out of a young girl, you know.
Niles, how dare you?
Like a moth to the flame, you know.
Let's go to the symphony, Niles.
So yeah, I want to go back there. I want to go on a vacation there. I think everyone will want to go on a vacation there because, like, who doesn't want to go somewhere where they had a very uncomfortable formative sexual experience as an early teenager? And that's why I think so many people vacation at their hometown's YMCA in the basement.
Little baby, I hear those blues are calling. Toss salads and scramble.
Yeah, was it the singing part or just like his spoken voice?
I'll get into it. I mean, it was literally everything.
Okay.
But Frasier's Seattle makes it come to life because we would not see Frasier having sex really at all in any city that was real. Which I will get to. But, you know, it's like I want to go back to the places where I had terrible formative experiences. You know, like also in front of my Alfred Molina as Doc Ock poster that I had in my room when I was little. Because my parents thought I was getting into comics, but I was getting into friggin' off to Alfred Molina.
You're hitting all the bases.
I liked beefcakes as a child.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I was into older beefcakes. Everyone should go to Frasier's Seattle because, first of all, it could be any city. Truly, like in some of the episodes, if you look out Frasier's apartment window, it's a painting of New York City. And you'd never know. And that's true. It like happened several times. I guess they like went on the Friends set on accident. And like Friends... This fictional Seattle has only white people in it and takes place entirely indoors. And this is never acknowledged as being weird or wrong. There's a lot of rules in Fraser, Seattle that don't exist in our world. The first being that Kelsey Grammer is the world's most fuckable man.
Oh, that's debatable?
He is just killing it in every season. He's not aging well. People do not seem to notice. Even in the early seasons where he is bald the entire show, but in the first like two or three seasons, he keeps like a little tuft on his head, like if Alfalfa got addicted to meth.
If. Yeah, we don't know that he didn't.
Yeah,
and that's true.
A bit, yeah.
And we still believe that he, first of all, who is a public radio host in a Seattle that in 1993, when this show started airing, was very into Kurt Cobain-style grunge. Every woman in their 20s and 30s was like, you know what? I was really into Kurt Cobain, but now I see this arrogant bald man, and I need to come right now. That's an amazing fictional element that takes place throughout the entire show. There's another one that Kelsey Grammer wears a robe after bedding women, and we never see the women exit his room. It's very rare. If you see a scene where Frasier has just made love, because that's what they say in the Pacific Northwest, it's perverted, they say, made love, he emerges from his chamber in like a velvet robe, and then usually proceeds to go and have a conversation with his elderly veteran father who's been in the other room the entire time. Very rarely do we see the woman he has just made love to with a penis I assume has the same sprout of hair.
Definitely.
Hopefully.
We never see her emerge from the room. Like, what? I don't know. Where did they go? They do not die, but they can't go outdoors. Because that doesn't... There is no outdoors in Fraser, Seattle. I assume that they take all of his velvet robes and just sort of make a... You know, and they just bungee down his apartment building. And that's how they get out. And also the best part, of course, of Fraser, Seattle, especially to me, for my big crush when I was younger, is that in Fraser, Seattle, David Hyde Pierce has sex with ladies. and that was something I very much wanted to happen. You can make a reference to Shostakovich in Fraser, Seattle, and not get your ass kicked. Second of all, everyone knows what you're talking about. Everyone's like, oh, good one, you know, as if it's like a punny joke about the color of Eleanor Roosevelt's pubes. And they're like, oh, we know, you know. We took that class, right? And everyone has a graduate degree, and that's not made out to be the most irresponsible financial decision of your entire life, right? And like what you do when you've been rejected for middle management at LIDS too many times. It's instead made out to be, of course you do. How else are you going to sexually interest this man with a tuft of hair on his head? But the reason I think Fraser, Seattle is really the best place to go on vacation is in particular for people who struggle with mental illness, because Fraser Crane is a radio psychologist, and over the course of the series, he is able to solve even the most troubling situations in about 3 to 4 sentences, presumably curing them. That's how this Seattle works, right? Like someone could call up and be like, hey, my veterinarian just came long and hard while she was euthanizing my beloved Bichon. Should I be concerned? And then Fraser will answer with something witty. You know, he'll be like, well, it looks like your dog and the veterinarian got a happy ending. And then...
I'm listening.
I'm listening. And then the person on the phone's like, I feel better. Cool. Thank you. And their problem is solved. I would love to deliver my problems to that. Like, oh, hi, Dr. Crane. I blacked out and hit all the virgins in my high school with my car. And then had sex with the corpses so that I wouldn't be a virgin. Should I be concerned? And he's like, I'm listening. I was a virgin until I was 37. But since then, I have had sex with, if we are to believe this Seattle's reality, 4,000 women. You're fine. Right. And so, I mean, Fraser really is the catch-all for all mental illness. And also, in his Seattle, the salary of a public radio psychiatrist is enough to get him this gorgeous apartment that is covered, ironically, in African masks in a city where there are no people who are not white. There's a great deep cut Frasier episode, if you haven't seen it, where he gives truly amazing advice to a young man who calls in. He says, "Hi, my name is John. I'm really interested in the actress Jodie Foster. The date is March 30th, 1981. Do you think Ronald Reagan is a good president, or is it like chill if I shoot him, you know?" And Frasier says, "Okay, I'm listening. Based on my character, who is very political but also very rich, we don't know if I'm a Democrat or a Republican. So I say do whatever you want, right?" And so Fraser actually can be traced to the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And that's not necessarily a selling point on Fraser Seattle. It's just canon.
No, it is.
No, it definitely is. Yeah. A lot of people go to the book depository, see where JFK got shot. So yeah
that's true.
It's a historical relevance.
Yeah, and Fraser Seattle versus Zootopia, I would argue, is that, you know, Fraser Seattle is just as intelligent and entertaining as Zootopia, but no one will ever ask to watch it with you. You can have a peaceful, solitary experience with Frasier. No one will ever be like, "You're watching Frasier? Let me order a pizza." That's why we should all go on vacation there.
Awesome.
Great.
Thanks, yeah. Jamie. So I watched some Frasier last night because I suffer for my art. And
Jack.
It was actually great.
It is great.
It's a really good show. So smart.
It
really is the smartest
comedy.
The episode that I happen to watch features a storyline where a writer gets a bestseller by writing about the time Frasier lost his virginity. And so Frasier's mad. He lost his virginity to his piano teacher.
When he was 45 years old. Yeah,
exactly. And he's like, "Everywhere I look, someone's reading that book," and it's called Slow Tango in South Seattle. So this is a world where people's pornography is regional.
Yes, and very popular. And also the fact that people in Frasier recognize him all the time,
right,
although he is a radio personality.
Well, he's always listening.
He's a real big deal.
I want to cover a couple of things that you touched on.
Sure.
Did you say that both Frasier and Niles stirred you sexually?
In varying seasons,
okay.
Yes.
No, hey, they both slept with Lilith, so that's fine.
That's true.
Don't bring that up.
We don't.
That's a great episode. That. That's almost a farce, that episode.
I am deeply pro-Lilith. And pro Roz. Roz, I think, is maybe the most sex positive character of
Frasier.
All time. She's amazing.
Frasier, everything's bad, Frasier.
She's unbelievable. There's like this great scene in a Frasier episode where he writes a note while they're talking and he says, "You're fired." And then she holds up a note and it says, "I'm union." And that's like the most Roz thing ever. She does not accept defeat.
But as a vacation destination, I feel like you've painted a picture of a wonderful place for sexually active agoraphobics.
I mean, as an aspiring sexually active agoraphobic,
yeah. Okay.
Because I am halfway there. I've got the latter half down.
Gotcha.
I think that sounds wonderful.
And if I could defend his hair a little bit, I mean, he did.
Please.
He did lose all the business, but he kept all of the party.
He did.
Yes.
The party's there.
It's not like the party was gone. So he's going to fuck.
I'm most troubled by the tuft.
The tuft?
The tuft. I'm like, he's going through something. He did, you know, it's like when you're making love to someone, you want to be like, this person knows when to let go, you know. And he did not for the first couple seasons.
With each sexual encounter, he grew up. earned back hair. Like, which he said, he grew more hair.
Or maybe someone had the foresight to relocate it over a period of time from the tuft to the back.
Smart.
We don't know. Not a lot of shots at the back of Fraser's head. Wonder if it's for a reason.
A terrible oversight, by the way. They should have just shot the whole thing.
A lot of times
back.
When people vacation, they talk about, oh, the dollar goes really far there these days. Yeah. So you're saying that the dollar in Fraser, Seattle, goes so far that you could be a midday public radio host, have a huge loft.
Penthouse apartment.
As well as a house, like a daily housekeeper and caretaker for your father on that budget.
And a summer cabin, yes.
That's
and a fancy sun, and those aren't cheap.
That's a far dollar. That is a far... I don't even know if the dollar works in Zootopia.
Do you know how much it costs to maintain a fancy sun like Freddy? That's a lot of money. That's a very well-dressed sun.
Am I wrong? In Fraser's world, there's really only four locations, right? There's the coffee shop, the recording studio, the apartment... And then that odd little elevator foyer area.
That very large elevator that seems to go nowhere at all.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the four?
No, we see Niles' house a few times. We never see Maris. I'm very pro-Maris as well. His wife, who's just like an angry disaster. And then a few times, we go on vacay episodes with them, but we want to be back in agoraphobic Seattle, where Fraser lives.
Which is, I think for a lot of people, just regular Seattle. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
They wanted to shoot more scenes outside. It was just fucking raining all the time. Like, right. They couldn't...
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we don't need to question why they're inside all the time. It's important to me that they are inside all the time.
Can I ask you a personal question you can refuse to answer?
Of course.
If you were to vacation to Fraser, Seattle now, and you had a night out on the town with Niles or Fraser, who would you go out with on your vacation in Fraser, Seattle?
Who would I go out with?
Who would be your man for the night?
Or a night in on the town.
Yeah,
right.
I guess there's no such thing as a night out
in Fraser, Seattle. You usually just go to Fraser's apartment.
Right. And pick your robe.
And make love to him. But if I had to pick one, even though, you know, they socialize a lot together, I don't know that I would have to choose if they were both horny. Appropriately horny after an opera we attend. I would go with Niles. I'd have to.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Fraser fucks.
Yeah.
But Niles is, like, sensitive.
I feel like Niles...
makes love. Yeah, Fraser fucks, Niles makes love.
Fraser fucks,
but I feel like
Niles
with Niles, there's
love.
A lot of checking in.
He makes hate.
Yeah.
He makes...
You good? Everything good. Everything good. You're good?
Is everything
We're
good?
We're good. Everything good.
Yeah. Every two pumps, he's like, hey, how are we? Are we okay? And you're like, we're fine.
All right, guys, give it up for Fraser, Seattle. Give it up for Zootopia. I think Fraser, Seattle stays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously
you,
I'm going backstage.
Thank you so much.
Bye. All right, our next presenter is a comedian who has performed all over the place. The Purple Onion, Nerd Melt. Her comedy has been featured on Grantland, The Huffington Post, Splitsider, Jezebel. And Pace listed her as the 8th best Twitter account of 2015. Please give it up for the hilarious Allison Stevenson. Hi.
All right, here we go. You guys, I'm going to talk about a fictional town called Stars Hollow from the show Gilmore Girls. Thank you. I created it myself. Here's the thing. It's a fictional town, but it's actually located in Connecticut, according to the show. And here's the thing. Is like, you already know that a town is magical if it's making you go to Connecticut on purpose. That's already making the case for this place. But I really want to go to Stars Hollow because as a white Jewish woman, a female Jewish comedian who grew up in Los Angeles, I want to go somewhere where I'm considered exotic. You know what I mean? There's like 1,000 of me here, multiple thousands. I want to go somewhere where I'm like, whoa, you know? I want to be fetishized for like a week, basically. Like, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley, Encino to be exact, and like, I was considered the WASP because I wasn't Persian. So like, I want to be surrounded by real, legit WASPs, yuppies. I want to be surrounded by rich folk. I want rich white ladies to like defend Mel Gibson to me. I want them all to just be like, why don't you eat pork? I just want that. Which, by the way, stop asking us that. Like, none of us know. We don't know. More about Stars Hollow, though. So this town, it's really cute. It's very visually pleasing. It's, like, quaint, I guess, is the word. It's super vintage, right? It's very old, and it's got all... It's like, imagine, like, if Pinterest had, like, explosive diarrhea and just went all over the town. That's Stars Hollow, and it is gorgeous, and yeah, sure, you can go, and it's, you know, nice to look at. But I'm going to tell you my real motivation why I want to go to Stars Hollow is I want to fuck. And because I thought about it, and there are a lot of really attractive, if you've watched the show, there's a lot of attractive single men in and around Stars Hollow, and they're all falling in love with Lorelai and Rory constantly. And I used to think it was because they were interesting, but now I realize, like, no, it's just literally they're the only two women in that town who are single and in that age group. I'm, like, right in the middle. I could take all of their leftovers, both sides, and, like, these guys, even if they don't like me, they're just gonna have to deal. Like, I'm plan B, and that's the only other plan there is. I was thinking about which men from the show I would genuinely want to take, and all of them. I came to the conclusion, even Dean, which you, if you've seen the show, he's like the human version of mayonnaise, and still, I'm down. Logan, I think of him as like aioli, you know, because like, you're like, no, he's, you want to think that he's different. You want to think he's like not the same, he's interesting or whatever. He's literally still just mayonnaise, you know? So yeah, the men in this town, they're always falling in love with Lorelai and Rory because they're like super adorkable or whatever. They're like always talking really fast and saying a lot of shit. And that's appealing to me too because I like talking a lot, but in LA, like that's a lot harder to do. I find it fascinating. I want to go to a town where men actually want to hear women speak. I want to go to a town where, like, I don't have to hear a guy go on and on about a screenplay he's been working on since 2011. And it's always, every time, it's almost always the plot of Memento. Every time. Here's my second motivation, okay? Sexcation, right? But also, I want to go to Stars Hollow, and I'm saying this lovingly because I love the show, but I want to destroy it. Because think about it, like, it's so quaint, and it's so cute, and nothing bad ever happens. Like, I kind of just want to go and just be like the 10 plagues or whatever, and just really make them go through some shit. Like, I want to go day one, I want to, like, take all the firstborn sons and have sex with them. Day two, I want to turn all of the water into Jaeger bombs. Day three, I forgot, what else? I don't know, locusts. We can keep some of the originals. I want to have a big fest, right? I don't know the details, and I don't know what exactly we would do, but I already know what I'm calling it, and it's going to be called Cuckfest. And then we'll just figure it out from there. And that's it. That's why I want to go to Stars Hollow.
So I watched a lot of Gilmore Girls last night. The most attractive thing about it to me is that you can drink like 40 cups of coffee in a given 24-hour period and just like not get horrible diarrhea or like anything wrong. People just like constantly are drinking coffee. It's like they serve consequence-free cocaine with breakfast every morning. And they talk like Tarantino characters who...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like...
They talk a lot.
So I feel like they exist at like a higher plane of consciousness in that town. So they're like, Kanye during the making of The Life of Pablo, like, but without the crash. They're just like completely manic.
Hey guys, real quick, just wanted to mention that I think these shows where people talk in really rapid fire ways, and movies in the case of the Tarantino universe, are a bigger deal than we might give them credit for, because it suggests like a higher level of thought and therefore existence. Like at one point, Gilmore Girl, the eldest's mom, says being you must be exhausting, which it should be because she has like 30 fully formed thoughts a minute, but it's not. She's just constantly at the very edge of a manic episode, but she never crashes. It just seems like it's a higher level of existence, a higher level of thought. Anyways, back to the episode.
Yeah. So, Stars Hollow loves a good gazebo, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all gazebos.
Oh, man.
And all the way down.
It's composed entirely of gazebos, yeah.
And as a self-professed diner guy, I love a good diner.
Yeah.
They've got that going for it, too, right?
Luke's.
Luke's is legit, it seems. Mm-hmm. Like a very...
You know, apparently...
Yeah.
I'm curious. I don't know.
It's the only game in town, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, and when they freak out over the coffee, like, oh, this is the best coffee ever made. I'm like, what?
Every time we
see them making coffee. It's because you've never had coffee anywhere else.
Right. I think he just uses a regular coffee maker.
He just does a regular, he's just like a simple guy. It's not like he's like getting these coffee beans himself.
Yeah, they get in a fight, and she's like, I can't get coffee anywhere because I can't go into Luke's. It's like, yes, you can. Like, what?
Oh,
but
wow.
He's the only source of coffee.
I'm willing to be educated on this, so it's a genuine question. I guess just for me, outside of a good gazebo hang and a diner, or spending some quality time with an underappreciated Melissa McCarthy, what is, like, some of the attractions in a Stars Hollow that a person would go do? I genuinely don't know. A walk?
You could go on a walk. They see movies. They don't even have a movie theater. You know what I'm trying to... It's like they'll just go to someone's house or something, or like it's always like a screen, like on a projector. Yeah, what? Because anybody know?
It's like the room full of couches, right?
Yeah. It's like not even a movie theater. Like they don't even have that.
Sounds pretty hipster. Nah, man, we just watch it here, dude. Relax.
Just like in the living room, BYOB, but they don't drink.
No.
They like barely. I think in one episode they got drunk.
Is there much conflict in that town? You don't have to worry about much, right? Everybody pretty much gets along.
Yeah. It's all like romance centered.
You're gonna stage like Burning Man there. That's kind of your idea.
Yeah, that's my favorite part about yours is that you worked it backwards. You were I want a sex vacation, and then let's pick the place. Rather than like finding a destination, you could do a lot of fucking. You were like, I'm going to do some fucking. Now, where do we want to go?
Now, where? Yeah, I want to like, because I know there's no reception. I don't want to have to open up Tinder. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I love it. It's like going to a dry wedding and making them start playing some like Genuine. We're not dancing to this? I'm dancing to this.
All right, give it up for Stars Hollow, you guys.
Thank you.
Give it up for Frasier Seattle. Like Frasier Seattle stays. Our next presenter went viral eating mushrooms and getting weird as the skateboard rabbi on The Price is Right. He's performed at SF Sketchfest, has appeared on This American Life. He contributes to Vice. He's written for Billy on the Street and SpongeBob SquarePants, which is an amazing combo. And he's also appeared on Flophouse. Please give it up for Josh Androsky.
My friends, let us think of a place, a hidden place, a warm place. A place where all of your enemies are being waterboarded with expired Mountain Dew by Freddie Mercury and Genghis Khan. My friends, my fictional vacation destination is hell. Now, I don't want to get too political here, but heaven fucking sucks, baby. Let's face it, according to canon, the only people allowed in heaven are Mormons, guys who call their wife mother, and that kid, Eric Clapton, pushed out a window so he could write a song about it. Boring. He did, though. You want to know how I know hell is fictional? Because it doesn't already have a thriving tourist industry. The way I see it, it's a tiered system. Because, you know, you'd get a different experience depending on how much you pay. Because, of course, hell is fucking super capitalist. It's like Vegas meets Dubai, directed by David Cronenberg. The first tier is the voyeur package. You can look, but not touch. Now, this would be the most popular tier because, like, seriously, how much would you pay to get to stand in a room fucking full of gorgeous women who are totally ignoring Jim Morrison's freshman poetry? Like, no matter how many times he tries to show off his stupid abs. No poet has abs, Jim! I digress. Or, look, dude, you could, like, pay $500 and be part of the studio audience of an America's Funniest Home Videos where every clip starred Kim Jong-il. Like, slipping on ice. Or, like, crying after the cat jumps on his birthday cake. That's fucking tight. Let's be honest. Instead of fucking being stuck in an apartment in Seattle with a bunch of yuppies who have Asperger's, and the dad definitely voted for Trump, and that cocky-ass fucking dog, wouldn't you rather watch Hitler's tiny cork get gnawed off by a bird with the eyes of his own mother?
I'm gonna fist fight you. I'm gonna fist fight you.
Now that's what I call a vacation. Volume 666, baby. For the second tier, you get to spend your time as one of the devil's own minions. And also probably dress like one of the actual minions. Because A, cute. And B, lucrative corporate tie-ins are what sustain hell's economy during earth recessions. So, like, imagine how truly exhilarating it would be to put a bike pump in Uday Hussein's face and just, like, inflate his dumb head till it fucking pops. That would be sick. Or pick up Westboro Baptist Church founder Fred Phelps like a bowling ball and toss him down a lane into a bunch of pins made of dildos. Or fill all the holes that Alzheimer's put in Ronald Reagan's brain with the very jelly beans he ate while he was ignoring the AIDS crisis. Come on! Much like the Gipper himself during his second term, this is a no-brainer. Ronald Reagan fucking sucks. Oh, I feel bad for the guy that fucking introduced crack to the inner cities. Now, in the third tier, you get to strap into the Samsung VRzelbub and be the actual devil. You know, like fly him around like a drone pilot. This is where the truly creative get to flourish, okay? So, like, if you're like me, you might try to seek out a rad artist toiling in obscurity who is definitely already going to hell and have them sign away their soul so you can make them super famous even though they're way too weird for mainstream success. I'm pretty sure I just described what happened to David Bowie. So you could, I don't know, like, as the devil, infiltrate the Democratic Party and tell them not to worry about campaigning in Michigan. Or, hey, you could just be a messy bitch who lives for drama, dude. Like, some monkey's paw shit. For example, do any of you have a high school or childhood bully?
Yes.
Yeah. What is their full name?
Jamie Josefowitz.
Jamie Josefowitz. All right. What did Jamie Josefowitz want more than anything in the world?
To pick up gravel and throw it at me.
Oh, buddy.
That I actually kind of agree with him on that.
Oh!
No, not, it's not your fault. It just sounds fun.
Sounds like a good gravel toss.
Sounds like a good old-fashioned honky-tonk gravel toss. I just feel like maybe you could be, like, as the devil, like a monkey's paw scenario where you, like, give him gravel and then he tosses it at you, but then it's stuck in his shoes forever.
Yes! Fuck you, Jamie!
All right, what's another bully?
Heather Brady.
Heather Brain?
Heather Brady.
Oh, okay. Because Heather Brain is a really cool name.
Heather Brain would be like a cartoon bully.
Yeah. So what is Heather Brady? What did she want more than anything in the world?
To read my Neopets journal.
That's fucked up.
All right.
She took it.
So we could give her a living Neopet as the devil, right? Okay. But then it fucking dies in front of her, like, on graduation.
Perfect.
Yeah, dude.
Perfect.
Or, like, the Neopet could just only say the word help. Like, I'm just saying, oh, it's the devil. Like, he's going to do devil shit. In conclusion, my friends, I say that hell is the ultimate vacation destination because, as the old cliche goes, it's a great place to visit, but you'd never want to live there. Thank you very much.
So you're not picking, like, one pop culture version of hell. It's just all of them, kind of? Well, I mean, a hell of your own making?
They're all hell. Like, Little Nicky hell is hell just as much as Bible hell. Little Nicky did more for me than the Bible, so.
Yeah, I was getting the devil's advocate vibe with all the capitalist stuff.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, fucking Pacino would totally, oh, you want to be the devil? I don't know what that is. Al Pacino. I feel like you're just like, oh, I'm going to fucking be the devil. Is Al Pacino Louis Armstrong?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's what he did. Son of a Woman, he was just doing Louis Armstrong.
Okay. Mixed with like Yosemite Sam.
The vacation is key here, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Because everyone else there has been banished to hell. Yeah. You're just visiting.
Exactly.
And I feel like with your tiered system, you've also... Hold on to your notes, because you've created a new book called Dante's YOLO. Work in the Virgil character wherever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You say it's a payment-based system?
Yes. Cash, baby.
Okay. And the bully system was the highest tier? Or was that just one of the...
The highest tier is that you get to be the devil. So, like, I don't know what you would want to do.
That was the democratic part, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so it's almost like those themed hotels where you could kind of... You get to live out some little fantasy while you're there.
Yeah, and my mom and dad had their honeymoon there.
Right. Are they together anymore?
No,
of course not. All those that end in divorce.
Yeah.
Theme hotel rooms end in divorce. I saw Blue Valentine, spoiler alert, in retroactive. I'm going to tell you this. It is my belief that hell is actually, I don't think it's even mentioned in the Bible. Like, they just say that
the devil
was cast down. There's not like an actual description of hell. But if it exists, just based on this show, you have earned yourself a position there by like working for hell to promote it.
Thank you so much.
No. The only thing I want to know, is there shuttle service from your hotel room to the locations where you... Is it like a Disney World thing?
Oh, yeah. But there, you know, you're just like on fucking Margaret Thatcher's back. The shuttle service is her...
You pick what person who's been banished do you want to carry you around today?
Scalia, get over here, dude. You just fucking jump in his arms.
Oh, that's
rich. He bodyguards you.
That's rich.
Yeah.
Oh, I like a good hell.
I have a price point question.
Absolutely. Is this Shark Tank, by the way?
Who's the one with the big head? Mark Cuban. I'm that guy. I'm big head guy. I have a question about my bully, Heather Brady.
Yeah.
How much money would I need to give you for her to say I'm pretty cool?
Man, that would be a lot of money.
Okay, follow-up question. How much money... Would it be less money to have the devil spray his battery acid come on her?
No, because he would probably do that for free.
Hell yeah. Okay.
That's the thing. It would cost so much more money for like a happy ending in hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
For like, oh yeah, and then my parents got back together. That's going to cost a lot of fucking money.
Right.
But if you want your parents to like get slam dunked by Orrin Hatch or whatever, oh, he's still alive. Spoiler alert, I'm going to murder that guy.
Oh, that's what you paid for.
Yeah. You could say you're going to murder a senator, right? You just can't say you're going to murder the president.
Probably right. Both are bad.
Cool.
I have a
My name is Daniel Van Kirk.
Shit! For the listener at home, it's true. Okay. I have a question. If this wasn't where you went contextually, feel free to say pass. It's mm-hmm. This is all your presentation. However, I am curious, just so we're on the same page. In the world of this hell, is it all like brimstone and fire? Like all of like, is it in like seeming like you're in some sort of serpent's body? Or do you see it as like a sunshine place and these are happening in buildings?
Honestly, have you ever been to the Vegas airport?
Oh, you mean McLaren?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's exactly like that, dude.
I'm in.
Slot machines, dirty carpet, everything
the
smells like cigarettes.
The best thing about the McLaren Airport is they have those glassed off cubes for people to smoke and everyone just watches them.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, there's definitely a human zoo in hell.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good, good.
Give it up for hell, you guys. Give it up for Fraser, Seattle. Think hell wins.
What's up?
Oh, oh, that's cool. On a loop. That commercial is on a loop.
The 10-10-3-2-1.
What's up?
And finally, closing us out is a performer who's appeared on BBC's 2 and 3, channels 4 and 5, HBO and Comedy Central. He was nominated for 2016's Best Comedy Show at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Please give it up for Eric Lampaire.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Eric.
You well?
What's up?
Hello. Oh.
This guy.
Very good, thank you. So I was thinking of the perfect holiday that I would like, and most perfect holidays include guaranteed sunshine, people like that, some good music, and a dash of nostalgia, just a little bit of nostalgia. Seeing a place that you visited as a child through your now adult eyes is always a better experience, I think. Now, what if I told you that I can give you all of this, but with added omnipotence? Ooh. Whenever I'd come home from school, I used to do my homework, of course, I was a good boy. I'd have a snack, and then I'd lose myself in 7 hours straight of my favorite R-rated game. And I'd repeat that every day. Every day. I'd do that every day. My parents weren't home much. I may have been born in the 86, but most of my 80s experience was spent in the 2000s. That's right, the best fictional holiday in my experience is GTA Vice City. You are now in the game. Oh, what will you do? Who here has played Vice City, by the way? By a cheer, because... Okay. My target market, this is for you. For those of you that haven't, oh, unfortunate. lucky. So I would say get yourself, you know, start off, get yourself a Hawaiian shirt and then take your hair to the limit with a can of sissy spritz. But don't use too much or you'll end up in hospital, but with fabulous hair. And once you have the look, you are ready to get your true self out there without any repercussions. Now, I don't mean the you that everyone is pretending to be right now in our reality. I mean the real you. You know what I'm talking about, the real you. We currently live in a society that enforces us with laws through social and governmental institutions to regulate how we behave. Oh, boring. Boo! That's right. So I say visit Vice City. Steal a car, go very fast up a ramp, land on some pedestrians, do a machine gun drive-by outside of the police station, and then steal everybody's cash again. And then you just do that. You just keep doing that. No problem. And the cops, yes, they will chase you and even get reinforcements from the FBI or even the army. But no matter the crime, you'll just be in jail for a few hours with a tiny bit less cash. And then if you need a bit more cash, just murder some more people. No
Hell
problem.
Yeah.
Right? Some people say violent video games make people go crazy, but I think that's nonsense. Genghis Khan didn't have access to Minesweeper, you know, let alone electricity. George Bush Jr., he famously played the non-violent video game Degenitron, where he saved green dots from fantastic flying red squares, or where he swung from green dot to green dot with his red square monkey, or where he smashed the green dots deep inside the mysterious red square. Degenitron. That's a very niche reference to the game. If anything, violent video games make... They help us to get that rage out that we have every fucking day, and it stops us from murdering real people like Susanna at the office, or your neighbor, Keith, or even your children. Before I got to play GTA when I was a kid, I didn't have an outlet for my anger. What was I supposed to do? Like I said, my parents weren't home much. It got dark, didn't it? I murdered my parents, and then I got GTA, finally. They said you're too young, but not anymore, Papa. I never took drugs as a kid. Lies. Liar! No, no. Or now, guys, I never take... They're listening. But I never took drugs, So I didn't fully understand what the protagonist was trying to do or trying to get through. I didn't understand. But now I'm an adult. I can fill my little tummy with as many drugs as I like. In Vice City, that is. Not in real life. In Vice City, you don't even have to buy your drugs. Isn't that great? You can Molotov cocktail an entire gang to the sound of Atomic by Blondie and steal all the cocaina. But you keep one person alive. You keep one alive. And you tell him, go share my legend. Share my legend! Some of you might not be persuaded that Vice City is a great holiday for the whole family, but I assure you, anyone can feel like a winner. Dad's at the cinema watching Exploder, Evacuator Part 2. His mouth is dry from smoking too much weed, so he drinks Vice City's popular drink, Salivex. Saliva in a can. Mama's on tour, don't her? This is delicious. You've got kombucha, you freaks. Mama's on tour with her favorite band, Love Fist. She's getting up to all sorts. The eldest child is filling up nicely at Rusty Brown's Ring Donuts, and the seven-year-old is loose around the city hijacking taxis. Like I said, fun for everyone. Life doesn't have a reset button, but this universe does. There's no consequences! Guys, unlike stupid real life, you now have immortality. Death doesn't count in this game, so you can push yourself to the limit. Ah, right? You and your wife can go on a romantic getaway and have sex on the beach in front of everybody. And then you can strangle each other that little bit harder. Ladies, come on, you know that you wanted to strangle your man, but you can't do it in this life. But in Vice City, you can fucking strangle the shit out of him. And he'll be back to life in about a few hours and a little bit less cash. And if you're alone, if you don't have someone to love, then, and you have no sense of purpose, then why not try suicide? That's right. In Vice City, there's a cornucopia of different ways you can kill yourself. Like in real life, you're too scared to do it. And you shouldn't, of course, get yourself some real help. But in Vice City, as many times as you like, you can jump out of a helicopter with no parachute. You can bazooka your face off. So many ways. Or you can see how far you can get that wanted rating up, and then the cops will just have to stop you committing all those crimes. In Vice City, I can be omniscient. I can hop in a helicopter and just know how to ride one. I can be a musician without any prior talent by simply pressing a key on a synthesizer. Whatever your heart's desire, apart from swimming. There is no swimming in Vice City. In Vice City, you can be respected. You can own property. Guys, I don't own any property. I'm so poor. Like, but in Vice City, just kill a gang and now you have a home. You can be somebody or you can choose real life where you're nothing. That's right. I'm looking at you, audiences. You're nothing. And so am I. And so are you, listeners. We're all fucking nothing. But not in Vice City. And then it got me thinking, what if we already are in a world-sized Vice City? Like, imagine, we're all in this game created by future humans or an alien civilization, and some people have been coming here and playing, and we don't know. I mean, there's been loads of car chases on TV. Are those players? Like, think about it. Is Jeffrey Dahmer really a psychopath, or was he a visitor on our game called Earth? I don't know. Me saying this, by the way, doesn't give you permission to try something out. You know, you're under arrest. But Eric said we're in a game. No, we're not. So yeah, visit Vice City.
Yeah.
By the way, Elon Musk also says that we're in a game. We're in a simulation, so.
I mean, it's very
really?
Possible.
Yeah. But that's something he has said.
No, but he's also said, hey, employees, don't unionize.
Yeah, he has certainly said
that. No, but guys, think about it. Elon Musk is onto something, right? Because if you think about the 80s, it was all 2D games, right? Like Mario was jumping from one square or whatever, all of that, right? Now the games are all GTA, Sims, right? You can start controlling these people. And this is 2017 where you can put virtual reality headsets and now you can be in a thing. What if in 3017, a future human civilization has created a game where the characters are self-aware? Then technically, we can now be in a game and not know because we've been programmed.
Sidebar. Have you read Ready Player One?
Yes, I have. Mm. It's fucking great.
Let's hang out after the show.
Oh, please.
I got one question about all that shit you just said.
Yes.
Can you just say papa again in your accent?
Oh, yeah.
Papa?
Oh, thank you, dude.
I have a request, too. When you were telling everyone that they were, like, nobodies and nothings, Can I get one of those?
I didn't even want to say it to you because we all know that you're not.
Oh,
wow.
Yes!
Wow! So much more meaningful because he's British.
It feels like, it feels like a British mirror.
So much authority.
British like accent gives me so much gravitas. I love it.
Yeah.
You will die tomorrow!
Oh, man, dude. Fuck. That sucks that that's real. So it sounds like you're just describing hell, but with more cocaine.
And better radio stations.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, my wife once said, you know, if she...
My wife.
Boo.
I love her. Fuck you.
Man, now we're into it.
Sorry that you're in a shitty marriage, but mine is wonderful. I can strangle her just the right amount.
I'm not in a shitty marriage yet.
Not yet. But one day,
wait,
you
are we getting married?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude.
What were we saying?
Oh, we're getting married.
I couldn't help but feel like a little bit of the like Westworld to this, right? Yeah.
Like it's like Westworld without the worst part of Westworld, which is that it's the Old West.
And
like,
not Miami.
Who gives a shit?
Right.
Yeah, the worst part of Westworld was that writer guy, the actor who played the writer
guy. Yes, he was terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, without any spoilers, in Westworld, like the game, you know, the characters, if you were to go into Vice City, you wouldn't die.
You're saying it's impossible to die in Vice City, whereas theoretically...
Right. You could just die as many times as you like. While in Westworld, it's still real life. You're just entering a simulation. But you could die. Like, if you fell down a ravine, you'd be dead.
That's true.
You could stab your own dick off and then you'd bleed out.
Okay,
not that you'd
why?
Want to do that in Vice City, but like...
Why would you do that?
Because why not? Like, in Vice City, you can just do whatever you want. I'd stab myself in the face just to try it out.
Do you think that there's no part of you that after, like, let's say you took a four-month vacation. Damn near
the Queen of England?
Sabbatical.
Four-month vacation?
Yeah, let's just say. This is my question. If you're in Vice City for more than a month, do you keep wreaking havoc or do you eventually just civilize?
Get a job at a shoe store.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder. I'll be honest with you. There's part of me that when I was watching Westworld where I was like, I think I might just want to live this life. Like, I don't need to shoot everybody.
I've never gone to a well and gotten water from a well.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're onto something. I did place for so long that one day I wanted to respect the rules of the road.
Yeah,
so
did you really?
I'd stop at the red light every time and just be like, make sure there's no pedestrians.
But even that was
your... I got bored and then I killed everybody.
But I think the great thing about what you're saying is that was still your free will to do whatever you felt like.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's nice to treat yourself sometimes to sanity.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, in this stupid real world, I can't stab any of you. Not boring.
Right. You can.
I can, but then laws stop me.
Yeah.
Man's law.
It's only laws that stop me from murdering everyone and not just being a good person.
You do present a good...
Let's say, for example, you truly hate someone, okay? You truly hate someone, but you're not going to kill them because they're an actual person that you should care about, even if you disagree with them. But then you could say to Elon Musk, all right, mate, make me a simulation of Keith, my neighbor. And then you go in and you fucking beat the shit out of Keith. And then you'd come out of the simulation and you'd be like, all right, Keith. And he'd be like, all right, mate. And he wouldn't know that you just murdered him and shat on his face.
That's like literally my nightmare. All my neighbors are like, yo, Josh fucking sucks, dude. I want to talk to a billionaire about having a dream where I kill him.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know. Ignorance is bliss. You wouldn't know that they murdered you last night.
I could tell by their looks.
See, for me, that's one of the hang-ups versus hell, is at least in hell, I'm really getting to do those things.
If they
I'm
follow gonna... you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although,
In Vice City, though, there's a great soundtrack.
But what if you're in Vice City and you're like, all right, dude, I'm going to kill this gang and then put a cop in a helicopter and blow it up with a grenade. Right. And then you realize, like, you would, like, unlock something in yourself that's like, I've wanted to do this the whole time.
Yeah, but I have. I've always wanted to. Yeah. This is literally what I'm saying.
But then you come back to regular life and you're, like, miserable because you can't. First of all, do you know how hard it is to get a grenade?
Like, not in Vice City. You go to ammunition, right? Which is the shop where you buy the stuff.
But I'm
or
saying
you just
come
kill
back.
A gang member and you get all the stuff.
You come back and your life is just like...
But that's what vacation's for.
Well, but...
Oh,
at least
that's true, though. They say that, like, punching a pillow actually doesn't help you get it out of your system. It only makes you angrier.
Really?
So I think you could just, like, be a ball rolling down the hill and just come back as a
right. I wouldn't feel sad. I'd feel refreshed. I'd be like, yes, I got all of that out.
Question though, when you say simulation, are you talking about full sensory simulation or just the current?
No, you would be in Vice City.
So you would have full.
Yeah. He wants to fuck, is what he's saying.
Yeah,
No, I'm. Well, yeah, of course. But I'm also saying, if I punch someone, do I get to feel that?
Yeah.
You feel everything.
It's not creepy.
That's enticing.
Right?
I mean, that's some demolition.
That's what
shit
you
want right to
feel is punching someone.
Oh, I'm saying, if I'm going to go there and you're going to, and I'm actually, he's saying, like, you know, create a simulation of my neighbor so I can beat the shit out of my neighbor. But if I'm not actually getting any aggression out, then did I really go on a vacation or did I just watch a movie?
What do you do on vacation?
Give it up for Vice City, you guys. Give it up for Daniel Van Kirk and all our presenters. Thanks for coming out, guys.
All right, that was our episode. Hope you enjoyed it. I think I'd go with The Good Place, Hell. That was the best version of Hell that I've ever seen. Spoiler, I guess. Come out to the next one. It was a fun show. They're always, I think, the second Saturday of every month at UCB Sunset. We always announce them here on the Cracked Podcast. And we're also starting the beginning stages of talking about putting together a small tour. So if you're interested in that idea, let us know. Let Brett know on Twitter. Oh, other thing I meant to bring up about hell is it's actually super important whether a culture believes in hell. It's one of the main indicators of how prosperous an economy is going to be, is whether that culture believes in hell. Just a weird thing I know because I work for this weird website. Anyways, on to footnotes, which is just going to be a list of Blake and Jamie and Allison and Josh and Eric's Twitters. Yeah, so follow them. They're all extremely funny people, really funny performers, and they will usually let you know on Twitter where you can see them next. And that's going to do it for this bonus episode. Thanks to engineer Brett, who you can follow on Twitter at Brett, R-A-D-E-R. You can follow me at Jack_O-B-R-I-E-N. I'm going to put together a playlist for people who missed the music. I'm going to put together a playlist for you guys to hold you over for a little while, let you know what I've been listening to. So be on the lookout for that. And we'll be back next week with more podcasts. Talk to you guys then.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.